усилия, дать...
to make new efforts, to give further instructions, because we see there's a possibility successfully to conclude the negotiating process in these two forums and achieve positive results this very year.
Okay, my question is, good evening, Doris Sekesarian from Palestine News Agency WAFA. My question is for President Bush, and I would also like to hear President Gorbachev's comment on that. President Bush mentioned that you failed to see the link between the Palestinian question and the present situation. I would like to know how come it is so important to implement UN resolutions in this particular instance when other standing ones have been frozen and overlooked and disregarded for so long. So I'd like to know how come this aggression is so different from other ones. And I would also like to add that I personally feel that the Palestinian dilemma and question need the attention of the superpowers more than ever. Thank you very much.
I agree that it needs it, and we are very much interested in implementing Resolution 242 of the United Nations. We've been zealously trying to do that, as have many other powers, for many years. But the fact that that resolution hasn't been fulfilled when it calls for withdrawal to secure and recognize boundaries, and it should be, and hopefully we can be catalytic in seeing that happen, does not mean that you sit idly by in the face of a naked aggression against Kuwait, and the United Nations has moved, and the United Nations resolutions should be implemented on their face without trying to tie it into some other unresolved dispute. But I couldn't agree more that it is important. It is very important that question eventually and hopefully sooner than later be resolved.
I have a question for both.
Excuse me, sir.
Немного. Я
I think that everything that's happening in the Middle East is of concern to us equally. And we must. What's happening in the Persian Gulf is one further reminder that we have to do more, act more energetically to see that this Middle East problem is solved, and so that we can reach decisions and solutions and build a system and create guarantees which would ensure the interests of all peoples and the whole world community, since it concerns us all very much. And I think there is a link here, fear, because the failure to bring about an overall settlement in the Middle East can create even further urgency and can create conflicts like the one we're facing.
A question for both presidents, please. In your statement, you pledged to work individually and in concert to ensure full compliance with the UN sanctions against Iraq. May I inquire what, if any, specific and concrete steps you have agreed to take in furtherance of that?
We didn't agree to specific and concrete steps. I think President Gorbachev, in the contacts he's had with Saddam Hussein, and with the Iraqis, and if they continue, will be a step in that direction. Clearly, this message itself will be a step in that direction. But we did not sit at this meeting and try to assign each other or ask each other to undertake specific measures in keeping with that particular paragraph.
And if I may follow up, President Bush, the statement also says that you are prepared to consider additional
threats. Я хотел бы добавить.
I'd just like to add. The accent here has been laid on the significance of the political findings which we have to reflect in this statement and which demonstrate our political will to act parallel, independently, or together in the search for new steps to bring about a peaceful settlement of this problem. I think for the meeting and the documents we've adopted at this meeting, this is of greater importance than enumerating one or two particular steps. The political finding, which serves as the basis for our search and our active conduct. I have a question too to both presidents. Mr. Gorbachev, Mr. President, after the recent meetings, as far as we can judge, you've had a good mutual understanding evolve. Have you been able to deepen this mutual understanding at this meeting? And generally speaking, what effect has this factor had on the results of your talks?
Well, I think clearly there has been a developing mutual understanding over the years. I like to feel, and I think President Gorbachev agrees, that our meeting in Malta had something to do with furthering that understanding. I'm convinced that our meeting in the United States at Camp David particularly furthered that understanding. But I'm not sure. I think the world sees clearly that if this had occurred 20 years ago, there wouldn't have been this cooperative feeling at the United Nations. And I think it's very important. So I don't know how one quantifies mutual understanding, but I feel we're moving on the right track. Neither of us, when we talk, try to hide our differences. Neither of us try to indicate that we look at exactly every problem exactly the same way. But the very fact we can talk with that degree of frankness, without rancor, I think enhances mutual understanding. And then when we see us on a question of this nature, standing shoulder to shoulder with many other countries at the United Nations, I think it is obvious manifestation of this developing mutual understanding. It's a very broad philosophical question, but differences still remain. But the common ground, in my view at least, surges ahead of these differences. And we will continue to cooperate with President Gorbachev.
I don't know whether I can give out a secret. I haven't really consulted the president on this. But I really feel like doing this, even at the risk
that's
too important in answering this question. The last sentence gives me grounds for hoping that everything will happen normally. Mr. President, in his statement, said, well, for a long time now, it's been our position that the Soviet Union in the Middle East has a very limited role. But today at this meeting, we had to go along that path. It was stated, it's very important to have cooperation and in other areas of world policies. This is the concrete answer to that question. It's very important. At every meeting, something happens. At every meeting, something enriches us. And I think the most important thing to say, that greater trust is being created. And if greater trust is being created between the leaders of two states like ours, two countries like ours, then I hope you'll agree with me. This is of great benefit to us both. On our cooperation, a great deal depends. This is a fact of history. And we don't exclude the possibility, in fact, in any steps of cooperation with others, in dialogue, we are committed to that, but we do see our role in this. Now I have a last comment. It's a very important one. The world is changing in such a way that today no country, no matter how powerful, can ensure the leadership which certain individual countries, some countries, including some whose representatives are sitting here today, we must cooperate today. That's what we must do to solve our problems together. That's what's happening. And I think that's the most important thing that's happening.
Karen Hostler, please.
Mikhail Sergeyevich, пожалуйста. Вопрос из французской телевидении.
French television.
Я буду по-французски, если не
I will do it in French if you don't have any objection. Mr. Gorbachev, is the Soviet Union still the friend of Iraq, as Minister Tariq Aziz stated in Moscow last week? Are you still the friend of Saddam Hussein? And one further question, still again to Mr. Gorbachev, President Saddam Hussein stated yesterday that the Soviet Union will prove that it's a great power if it resists the pressures from George Bush and if it supports the Baghdad regime. Can you tell me, please, what response you give to Saddam Hussein on that? I can answer. I have to repeat what we said in our statement and what I said in answers to previous statements. My position is unchanged. And we see our role and we see our responsibility, and within the framework of that we will take action in cooperation with members of the Security Council, and in this case, once again, I can say, since two presidents are sitting side by side in cooperation with the President of the United States, I'd very much like to express the hope that President Saddam Hussein, I hope this, will show sobriety, realism, will ponder everything properly and will respond to the appeals and demands of the world community and will take such steps as will be properly appreciated in the world and, I hope, in the Arab world too. This is important. If Iraq, no one's going to exclude Iraq from the world community, but what the current leadership in Iraq is doing today is pushing that country into an impasse. So let President Saddam Hussein heed these appeals.
Sorry, Mr. President, I'm sorry, it's always time. Other kind of press, and as a neighboring country of the conflict, we're from Turkish press.
I think I'm next. Thank you very
but
much.
I didn't have any chance, and I have a microphone here, and people are trying to grab it from me.
Well, let me just press on here, if I may. I have a...
So I...
Ladies first. I'd like to ask Mr. Gorbachev if you have ruled out the possibility of a Soviet military participation in this effort in any sense, either as part of the naval blockade or as part of some future peacekeeping force in the region. And I would follow up with a question to Mr. Bush, to what degree that would be a disappointment to you if that's Mr. Gorbachev's position.
I don't see any point in this now, and we shall act in the future within the framework of the Security Council's decisions and in strict compliance with those decisions.
I'm not disappointed in that answer.
You're determined to see this aggression end, and current steps are being considered. What does this mean? What comes next?
It's too hypothetical. We want to see this. We want to see the message get through to Saddam Hussein. We want to see him do what the United Nations calls on him to do. And that statement can be interpreted any way you want to interpret it, but it's out there, and I would simply not go into any hypothetical questions that would lead me beyond what that statement says.
Helena Petaista from the Finnish television. A question for both of you, or either of you.
Вы извините меня. Сказал господин президент. Знаете, мне кажется, и в прессе, и в общественном мнении
других стран появляется
такое суждение,
a judgment is being formed,
что кому-то не хватает решимости,
that certain people lack decisiveness,
что мы отступаем,
that we are
перед
retreating,
тем, кто вероломно попирает международные права.
In the face of this flouting of international law. I don't agree with that, even though it may cause some difficulty for states' leaders. Acting through the Security Council in this situation. I think that what has been done so far in response to aggression, the aggression of Iraq, is extremely significant. Combined action has been ensured not only within the framework of the Security Council of the UN, but a great degree of unity in the world community at large. Unprecedented solidarity, in fact. We have prevented the development of that aggression. After all, we have preserved the structures and the functioning which do not disrupt world economic links, and this, after all, affects numerous countries. So I think, generally speaking, and we've also taken a decision about the embargo, which is quite a severe measure in response to aggression. I think these strategic tasks have been performed at the initial stage, and that's very important. And our certainty and optimism at the next stage, we will bring about political solutions and find political means of resolving this problem and stopping this crisis and diverting it in the direction of a peaceful settlement. This is decisiveness, this is determination, this is will, this is a high sense of responsibility and a commitment to these methods of solution of crises on our part shows the responsibility of political leaders to the world community at large and to their own countries. And we won't listen to the cries of those who are raising a hue and cry and talking about prestige.
Helena Petaista from the Finnish television. Concerning the humanitarian aid, does your joint statement mean in practice that you consider that food should be now allowed to Iraq?
the President and I felt it necessary to reflect in our statement the position we share with the Security Council on this subject. The position of the Security Council is to permit for humanitarian purposes medicines and food to be supplied, needed particularly by children. And we say this in our statement. That's made very clear. But it's made very clear that it must happen within the framework of international organizations under their control at all stages. And I think this is correct.
Gorbachev, on that point, and the language is very good because it does express the concern that both countries feel in the event there actually are children and others who are suffering because of lack of food. I hope that nobody around the world interprets this as our view that now there should be wholesale food shipments to Iraq, because I can speak only here for the United States when I would call attention to the fact that we need some kind of international agencies to see that there is this humanitarian concern, as expressed, this exception in the United Nations embargo for humanitarian purposes. And not only is it required for this humanitarian circumstance, but that the food gets where it is supposed to go. So this should not be, from the U.S. standpoint, interpreted as a wholesale big hole in this embargo. It is not the. It was not our intention, and I think the language is very clear on that point.
John Cochran, the program please. Note here, This Week with David Brinkley will be seen following this joint news conference, and one of the guests will be the President's Chief of Staff, John Sununu.
You seem to disagree on the military option when you talk about further steps being taken to implement the U.N. sanctions. President Bush, you seem to be saying the military option is still out there. President Gorbachev seems to disagree. Do you disagree on that? Did you ask President Gorbachev to pull his experts out of Iraq, and did you ask him to send troops into the Gulf region?
I did not ask him to send troops in. If the Soviets decided to do that at the invitation of the Saudis, that would be fine with us. But I did not ask him to do that. I believe there, with the 23 countries that are participating on the ground, or 23 countries that are participating on the ground and at sea, that the security of Saudi Arabia is close to safeguarded. What were the other two points?
Did you ask him to pull the experts out of Iraq? And do you disagree on the use of military force? You seem to say it's still an option. He seems to say it's not an option, ever.
We may have a difference on that. I'm just, as I think I've answered over and over again at home, I'm not going to discuss what I will or won't do. And President Gorbachev made an eloquent appeal, to which I agree that a peaceful solution is the best. So I've left it open. He can comment on the other. But I, and again, John, I'm sorry, the second point.
Pulling the experts out.
Well, I think it would facilitate things, but on the other hand, he's given his answer here. And that is not a major irritant. You've said that he's already, I think he said that he is reducing the numbers there, but I think I tried to make clear that this was a question that was widely being raised in the United States, and it would facilitate things if they were out of there in terms of total understanding. But I heard his answer, listened to it very, very carefully, and must say that I would let it stand at that. If I was just saying, would I like to see them all out of there, I think I'd say absolutely. But I'd let him add to that.
I would even stress this, that the Arab factor hasn't really gone into effect in helping to resolve this crisis. I don't want to propose any analysis right now for you about why this has happened, but I am sure We are seeing an activation of positions of the search on the part of Arab states in response to the crisis situation we're all in. We are cooperating with the Arab countries, and we're having some useful steps which are emerging. It's rather early to say anything about them now, but we're continuing to cooperate with the Arab countries. Furthermore, at a certain stage, when the situation changes, when it eases, we might have the flag of the United Nations for the U.S. forces, might assume our responsibilities. We, the permanent members of the Security Council, and our country particularly, could be guarantors. But that's at a subsequent stage of the process. If we can ease the situation by a peaceful settlement and solve it.
The hour, thank you very much.
May I comment on that one, please? Very glad that the Arab states, that the Arab League, and in other ways, have stated their condemnation of Saddam Hussein. He is trying to make this a contest between the Arab world and the United States. And it is no such thing. If you will look at how the United Nations has overwhelmingly condemned him. So the Arab states have a very key role in this. Many Arab states have responded in the defense of Saudi Arabia. Syria, Morocco, Egypt, say nothing of the GCC countries. So it is not Saddam Hussein and the Arab world against the United States. It is Saddam Hussein against the United Nations and against a majority of the Arab League. And that is a very important point that I will continue to make, because the Arab League itself has stood up to him and urged his compliance with the sanctions and condemned his aggression. So in this case, I see the Arab states as having a very important role to play in the resolution of this question, and they have not been taken in by his attempt to make this the Arab world versus the United States of America, when it is nothing of the kind.
Very much.
President Bush concluding there with a restatement of a position that he has taken on numerous occasions. This is not the U.S. versus Iraq. This is Iraq versus the rest of the world. In fact, there are presently, I think, 26 nations participating in the military operation in the Persian Gulf. Without underestimating the symbolism of seeing these two men together there, there doesn't appear to be an enormous amount put on the public record today that we didn't know before. But just to review a little bit of it for you, of what we've heard, Mr. Gorbachev saying that he hopes that Saddam Hussein will be sober and realistic and respond to the appeals. Mr. Gorbachev saying that everything they've said in public in terms of condemning the Iraqi invasion, they have said to Saddam Hussein in person. As to Soviet military involvement in the region, Mr. Gorbachev saw no point in speculating on that at the moment. And both men said they had not discussed military operations during their meeting, and George Bush also said he was not disappointed in Mr. Gorbachev's answer, though he would not object if the Saudi Arabian government asked the Soviets to send troops, though he did think that the security of Saudi Arabia was at this point close to being safeguarded. A very heavy influence for Mr. Gorbachev particularly, but for Mr. Bush as well here, on the role of the United Nations in this whole crisis. And they said in their joint statement that they wanted to have nothing less than the UN Security Council resolutions implemented.
Appreciate the contribution made by the president of this country and his wife to make these excellent arrangements for this meeting.
May I simply add that President
Koivisto, Mrs. Koivisto, have been most hospitable, and I agree with this. We owe them a great debt of gratitude, and the people of Finland. Thank you.
Mr. Bush and Mr. Gorbachev, both thanking the Finnish government and President Koivisto, who, interestingly enough, given the position of Finland, speaks both English and Russian as well as German, so was able to communicate with both men in their native languages. As we said, a tremendous influence here on the United Nations. In the couple of minutes we have here, as they make their way up, this week with David Brinkley will be along very quickly. Let's just canvass some opinion first from Washington, where Congressman Les Aspin is standing by, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. Anything you hear there, Congressman, that surprises you or particularly impresses you?
No, I think that the symbolism clearly is what's coming out of this summit. It's really very hard to tell from this news conference what they did talk about, because a lot of topics came up. They said they didn't discuss it. Now, obviously, they didn't sit looking at each other, but we don't know from their news conference what did come out. Clearly, I think President Bush did ask Mikhail Gorbachev to remove those military advisors and was turned down. But I think it's very, very difficult to know what they spent their time talking about at this point.
It was very clear on that question of advisors, I thought, sir, that they didn't want to disagree on anything.
It was
How much impact do you think it has on Congress, the fact that the advisors are serving out contracts?
Yeah, I don't think this is a big issue. Essentially, those advisors are advisors that are sent over to help the people when you make an arms sale. We do the same thing. If we sell arms to, say, a country like Egypt, we send some military advisors and some contractors to help them to learn to maintain those planes, to repair them, etc. They're there for 18 months, 2 years, and they're part of a team, a military team and a contractor team that go there to help the country to devise how to maintain and to repair the plane. What Mikhail Gorbachev says is that that they'll come back when the contract's over.
Thank you, Congressman. Les Aspin, let's go to Boston. Our resident Soviet analyst, not resident today, Bob Legvold. Bob, what do you hear there that impresses you?
Well, first of all, I think Gorbachev got an important element that he wanted, an assurance from the Americans that we're not going to keep our forces there a day longer, as the president said, than they have to be. And secondly, the president heard from Gorbachev that if things escalate somewhere down the road, force has to be used under the auspices of the UN. The Soviets aren't ruling that out. So there was something of substantive interest in this meeting.
And very clear concern from the Soviets once again about the continuation of an American military presence in the Persian Gulf. There are members of the Bush administration who still think at this point that the U.S. is going to be militarily present in the Persian Gulf for months and maybe even for years. ABC's Barry Dunsmore, how do you think this is going to play with the Allies, going to keep everybody on board?
Oh, I think so, but I would agree with the congressman that the question of symbolism here was very important, but it was interesting that they talked for an awfully long time and we heard very little about it. I have just this little nagging suspicion that both Mr. Gorbachev and Mr. Bush know that if Saddam Hussein comes out of this stronger, the world will not be a very safe place to be. And I just sort of have this nagging feeling that one of the things they may well have talked about is how he could be surgically removed, shall we use that phrase? And we do have a couple of agencies that have some experience at that.
All right, well, you can certainly use that phrase. Anyway, Barry Dunsmore, our diplomatic correspondent. So concludes the third summit between President Bush and President Gorbachev, and every indication, at least listening to there, given the fact that we do not know, as the congressman pointed out, the full range of what they said in private, that the nature of the new relationship and the mutual understanding is going to lead to this kind of dialogue on a fairly regular basis as time goes on. One brief thanks to our interpreter, Stephen Pearl, who switched quite brilliantly from English to Russian to French to Russian. Thank you for joining us this week with David Brinkley. We'll be along shortly. I'm Peter Dennington. Help.